I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories outdoors. On this episode, we're diving deep into a desire that most of us feel pretty strongly, the desire to find a partner. If you're anything like me, when you're younger, you simply assume that you'll meet the right person. But if you reach your 30s or beyond and you're still single, that certainty can start to waver. What if something's wrong with you? What if you never find a soulmate? What if you spend the rest of your life alone? Today's story comes to us from a woman named Mara Kuhn. She's been single most of her life, and she's coming up on 40 years old. But instead of feeling desperate, she started to wonder whether being single might actually make her happier. I'll let Mara take it from here.
I sat atop the scree, eyeing the summit of Mount Elbert, which loomed above me. Despite the fact that I'd already climbed nearly 4,000 feet, I had no desire to continue the last 200 feet to the top. I was exhausted and couldn't seem to catch my breath in the thin mountain air. I was sitting at 14,200 feet, and I'm a flatlander. That was already an accomplishment. It's okay to quit, I told myself. It was getting late, and I wondered if I wasn't going to make the summit before I needed to begin my hike back to the tree line. In the Rockies, afternoon thunderstorms tend to be really violent, so you don't want to be high up on exposed ridgelines. You have met your goal of hiking to 14,000 feet. No one said you had to summit. It's okay to quit. I was ready to call it. I wasn't going to make the summit, and I was more than fine with that. Really, I did not want to keep going. I thought of the advice I'd once given when someone asked me, "When is it okay to bail on a hike?" "When it's no longer fun and or safe," I answered. This hike was definitely no longer fun, and it was inching closer to the no longer safe line. My family and friends back home couldn't believe I was on a solo road trip, camping and hiking in the wilderness alone, so far from home. The night before my Mount Elbert hike, I texted my parents. "I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. and climb Elbert," I told them. "I think I can do it." But instead of texting back words of encouragement, the response I got was, "By yourself?" Ugh! This is always the response I get from family and friends. Not only because they worry about my safety, but they feel sorry for me because I'm all alone. Because I'm 36, never married, and don't have any children. It's like they think I'm incomplete, until I find that one special person to complete me. Although it annoys me, I can't say that I resent them for it. I used to think just like that. I was out there searching for that one person to complete me, make me happy, and solve all my problems. I didn't want to end up alone and lonely. I grew up in the South where getting married at a young age was the norm. Magazines like Southern Living and Better Homes and Gardens filled my parents' home. A woman's worth was calculated by her ability to catch and keep a man. If you're still single when you hit 30, people pity you. Bless her heart, they say. For the record, I'm almost 40 and still very much single. To be fair, my reasons for wanting a life partner weren't all foisted upon me by my community. I remember one conversation in particular where my sister tried to convince me that marriage might not be all it's cracked up to be. She had just listened to a sermon about how we shouldn't worry if we are single, that inner satisfaction comes from God or within ourselves. "Why do you want a husband?" she asked. "I want that deep connection you get from your soulmate," I told her. And the truth was, I longed very much for that deep connection. She prodded some more. She asked me why I couldn't get the deep connection from a best friend, or, to put me on the spot, her, my sister. But there's no making out in those relationships, I told her. And I thought I had her there. You can fix that problem with any guy at the bar, she said. Ugh, big sisters are the worst. Even though I lost the argument, I still didn't listen to her advice. I still looked for validation from relationships instead of from myself. In the times in between relationships, I felt like I didn't matter, like I was in a holding pattern waiting for real life to begin. I chased after unattainable men, and when it didn't work out, that just furthered my belief that something was wrong with me. Solo hiking the highest mountain in Colorado was something I never saw myself doing 10 years before. It was something I never thought possible. Plus, hiking alone for hours on end seemed kind of sad. I had a friend who often did long hikes alone. One time I asked him, "What do you think about all day?" "I think about getting to that summit," he answered. I thought he was very simple-minded. I couldn't imagine being by yourself all day and only thinking about one thing. I couldn't imagine not having someone to talk to so that you can expand your thoughts. Looking back, I believe I was afraid of being alone with my thoughts. I was afraid I would get bored with myself. But one year, after a particularly memorable breakup with a man I thought I wanted to marry, things started to shift. I'd started seeing a therapist, and she told me I needed to find something I could do all on my own that I had to do alone. I decided that thing would be running. I'd always hated running with other people. They always wanted to talk when I couldn't breathe, or they ran at a faster pace and I felt like I was holding them back, or I would push myself too hard to keep up. And I'm cranky when I'm exerted. So I started running alone. Training for a half marathon, to be precise. And to my surprise, I began to love my morning long runs alone with my thoughts. The rhythm of my footfalls on the pavement helped me focus and clear my head of clutter. I was connecting with myself. Over the next few years, I started to do more things alone. Friends were moving off or getting married, so I found myself on my own more and more. And I realized I had a choice. I could do things alone, or I could not do things. I chose to go alone. Hiking, camping, and road tripping, I did all by my lonesome. And the more I was forced to go alone, the more I realized I liked it. And then I began to crave it. I craved solitude. I hadn't realized it before, but there's a difference between loneliness and solitude. Loneliness is something to be feared. A lonely person is someone to be pitied. Solitude is something we seek out. And I started to seek it out more and more. My trip up Mount Elbert was no exception. The day of that hike, I set out before sunrise, and as I began to climb up towards the tree line, my thoughts floated effortlessly from one topic to another. I thought about making that summit, but I also thought about the beautiful aspen trees, how I really needed to forgive a friend who'd hurt me, and the big juicy burger I was going to devour when I was finished.
Hey, it's Willow. We'll hear the rest of Mara's story in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Support for this episode comes from Lola, feminine care products by women for women. So, you might not know this, but the FDA does not require companies to disclose all the ingredients in feminine care products. So, most companies don't. Lola does things differently. Their founders basically said, "If we care about the ingredients in the food we eat and the beauty products we use, why shouldn't the same be true of our feminine care products?" So they created Lola. Lola's products are 100% natural, no mystery fibers, no added chemicals or dyes, no BS. Plus, and I realize this is kind of superficial, but when it's that time of the month, little things do make a difference. Their stuff comes in really nice boxes. I feel like most feminine care products, their packaging kind of makes you feel like you're buying diapers. Whereas Lola's stuff comes in this sleek box that makes you feel really classy. And I gotta say, they also have a sense of humor. When you open up the tampon box, for example, it says, "This too shall pass. And until it does, we're here for you." In addition to feminine care products, Lola also has a line of sex products, again, designed by women for women. To get 40% off your subscription, go to mylola.com and enter the promo code out there. That's mylola.com, promo code out there. Support also comes from Care Of, a subscription vitamin service that delivers personalized vitamin packs straight to your door. I have to admit, I don't normally take vitamins, but that's largely because I'm never sure what I should be taking. So I figured I would take Care Of's online quiz and see what they recommend for me. Okay, it says that this will take less than 5 minutes to build my personalized vitamin pack. The quiz asks about my diet, my health goals, exercise, whether I'm into traditional Eastern medicines like Ayurveda. Then it analyzes my answers. So it's recommending, can I pronounce this? Astaxanthin for my skin. Ashwagandha for feeling burnt out. Vitamin D. Vitamin D because I live in the north. Vitamin C because I do endurance exercise. If you'd like to get a personalized vitamin pack of your own, just go to takecareof.com. That's takecareof.com. You can get 50% off your first month with the promo code OUTTHERE50. Your order will get shipped straight to your door, so it's easy and convenient. And again, that's takecareof.com, promo code OUTTHERE50. And now, back to the story.
I kept climbing and made it above the tree line. And then the trail got hard. I took 3 steps and had to stop and rest just to catch my breath. Oh my goodness, I was tired, and I still had more than 2,000 feet of elevation gain ahead of me. I kept pushing along. Step, step, step. Breathe. I thought back to my first hike above tree line. It was in New Mexico, and I was with my then boyfriend. I'd been tired then, too, and I could tell he was getting annoyed with my breaks. Boy, the trail just keeps going up, I tried to joke and make light of the situation. Yeah, they do that out here, he curtly replied. I compared the 2 hikes in my head as I inched toward the summit. I thought being married would be good, so I would have someone to do things with all the time. But now, taking on this challenge all on my own, it was so much more relaxing to go at my own pace. This was empowering. Here I was in the middle of nowhere, Colorado, by myself, and I loved it. What was I afraid of before? Not having anything to think about? I had plenty to think about. I was even literally thinking about thinking. Being alone clearly did not make me simple-minded. I trudged along towards the summit and I got my first views of Mount Massive, the second highest peak in Colorado, which sits just to the north of Mount Elbert. It was breathtakingly beautiful. The trail turned and got steep, really steep. The incline and the lack of oxygen to my muscles took a toll on my body. It's okay to quit, I told myself. Step, step, breathe. I looked up the trail toward the summit. It looked like it leveled out a little ways up. I'll hike to there and reassess, I told myself. When I got to my goal, the trail didn't level out, but the incline slacked a little. Step, 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 breathe. I got this. Well, maybe. Was I getting stomach cramps from the altitude? Or is that hunger pains? Finally, 6 hours after I left the trailhead, I hit the summit. I was ecstatic. I was standing on top of the highest mountain in the Rocky Mountains, and the summit was mine. All mine. And I did it all by myself. That feeling of pure happiness that I felt, that's not something another person could give me. It was something I had to rely on myself for. And now that I had it, no one else could take it from me. I owned my own happiness. And not only that, but I probably wouldn't have even gotten to the top if another person had been with me. We always hear that having someone else push you is a good thing, but I think in this case, the opposite would have been true. I thought I was going to quit so many times. If another person had been there, I would have been worried that I was slowing them down and I would have turned back. It had taken a long time and a lot of agonizing on my part, but I was starting to realize that my sister was right. Why do you need a partner? I wasn't just okay doing this hike alone. I was happier because I was alone. When you come right down to it, that's true for other parts of life as well. Had I not loved the nights I would stay up late writing in my journal, watching silly shows on TV and dancing to the radio with a rum and coke, having a party of one? Don't get me wrong, relationships are important, and maybe someday I'll get married. But the idea that you have to have a husband or a life partner to be happy is bullshit. And honestly, if you are not happy before entering a relationship, is a partner really going to fill that void? My family still doesn't understand why I'm okay being single. I know they still pity me, and it makes sense. This belief that marriage is the end goal is totally ingrained into our society. We congratulate other women when they get engaged and celebrate it with engagement parties, bridal showers, and bachelorette parties. But where are these parties when we get our master's degree or land a great new job? By the definition of success that I grew up with, I'm a hopeless failure. But I don't see it that way. I see a woman who has climbed the second highest peak in the lower 48, a woman who has hiked to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and back up, a woman who has run 2 half marathons, and a woman who is not afraid to travel alone. My self-worth comes from what I can accomplish by the strength of my body and the intellect of my mind. If I could talk to my 20-year-old self, I would tell her to spend much more time finding a connection within, rather than worrying about ending up alone. Because alone is not a bad place to be.
That was Mara Kuhn. She's a freelance writer and photographer based in Arkansas, and you can read more about her on her blog, rightkindoflost.com. If you have thoughts about what you heard on this episode, let's get a conversation started. Post on Facebook or Instagram with the hashtag #singleandhappy, and be sure to tag us at OutThere Podcast. You can also see what our ambassadors are saying on the topic by following the hashtag #singleandhappy. Coming up next time on Out There.
When you're in a burning forest, it sounds like there are jet engines all around you. There's a roar. I mean, it is an experience like no other. And so that the great paradox is, yes, firemen are hoping that a fire starts.
In those moments, I felt like I was at the center of the world. I felt like I was at the most important place on earth, and there was nothing else that mattered. And like it, that was such a draw. And I don't know how easy it is to describe, but you just feel like this is it. This is all there is. Like this is the, I am looking at the entirety of the world right now.
Controlling nature and taking control of your own life. Next time on Out There. A huge thank you to everyone who took our listener survey. We got hundreds of responses and we're in the process of going through all of them. We look forward to incorporating as many of your suggestions as we can. Also, thank you to Mike Bachman and Allie Gray for their financial contributions to Out There. If you'd like to make a contribution of your own, just go to outtherepodcast.com and click on the support tab. You can make a one-time contribution, or you can become a monthly patron. And no amount is too small. Every dollar helps. That's it for this episode. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Eggerking. Our advertising coordinator is Jessica Taylor. Laura Johnston heads up our ambassador program. And our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.